Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And we welcome you to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside David Deal, I'm Lance Beddow. Good to be with you as we'll break down all that is happening with respect to New York Giants. We'll also get into the Washington Redskins. Dave called the game between the Redskins and the Rams for Fox Sports this past weekend, so we'll get his insight. Two ways for you to interact with us here on the program, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in via social media, hashtag Giants Chat. Dave, looking forward to working with you. How's everything?
So am I, Lance. It's been the preseason. We did some of the games
correct
together, but yeah. Yeah, this is the first time doing the show with you. So I'm doing excellent. And I'm excited to watch the Giants on Thursday and to see how they bounce back from this tough one at home. You know, finishing games is something that the Giants obviously have not been able to do. And Coach Coughlin has always stressed to the football team, get the game into the fourth quarter and win it in the fourth quarter. It's been a tough 2 weeks. It's been a tough 2 losses. But finishing games is something that takes experience and it takes confidence. And I really like the steps that the Giants have taken. I think the offensive line is headed in the right direction. But finishing games also comes with confidence and experience with a young team still meshing together. So I hope that they've learned from these last two, and they have to turn the switch really quickly, because having the Redskins come in on a short week, division rival, this game's huge for the Giants.
A lot of importance, as you mentioned, because yes, if you take care of business in your division, it's the easiest way to make the postseason.
It's the best way to make the postseason. You don't rely on anybody else for you to get in. You take care of business yourself.
Though this is a much different-looking Redskins team than they've seen in previous years.
No question. I think for me, last year, I actually had them opening week of the season compared to watching them opening week and having them second week. You could tell that there's a different culture in Washington, much more physical, much more aggressive at the point of attack offensively. I think their offensive line with Bill Callahan, one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, has really taken steps forward. Their defensive line with Hatcher, with Potrose, Terrence Knighton, with Kerrigan and Murphy have really stepped up, and you see a team that plays physical, and more importantly, they don't quit. Last year, there were games in the fourth quarter where they just looked worn down and didn't look like they were ready to hit the switch. These last two games, even with the tough loss last week against Miami, they didn't shut it down whatsoever. And you saw a team fighting until the end.
And it's interesting you brought up the fourth quarter, because that's a big theme entering Thursday. The Giants being able to close the door, and the Redskins now a different identity. They're able to close
the
door.
And I think you know, a big difference is obviously, number one, Jay Gruden and the philosophy and the turning to him as the head coach. But I think the biggest difference was Scott McLuhan. I think he's brought in a different type of culture and identity to the Washington Redskins. And I think it started when you look all the way back to the draft with that fifth pick. At that point, Washington used to always go with the sexy pick. They wanted the wide receiver. They wanted that big playmaker. But when they drafted Brandon Scherff, I think it sent a message that the Washington Redskins were heading in a different direction.
And you can tell, especially with the way they've been running the football so far. Tops in the NFL, over 170 yards per game they're averaging.
Well, they have to rely on the run, and I think that's what they think puts Kirk Cousins in the best position to succeed. When he can come up, run his pre-snap looks, get his three and his five-step drops, put his back foot in the ground, and let the football rip. He's had his problems, like in the Miami game with the 11 penalties. That whole second half, they were in 3rd and 10s, 3rd and 12s. That's where the Giants have to capitalize, because that's where he throws the balls that can get tipped and picked and really create those turnovers that the Giants need to, number one, build that confidence and that momentum, but give this Giants offense the most opportunities they can to put points on the board.
And speaking of the Giants offense, let's get you up to date with the injury report. Tom Coughlin did address the media right before we came on. So this is in terms of who's going to take part in practice, who won't take part in practice. John Beeson will practice. Robert Ayers is feeling better, according to Tom Coughlin, though no Eric Flowers, still dealing with that sprained ankle. No Victor Cruz, and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is entering the concussion protocol. So probably the most notable name there, Dave, is Eric Flowers, who did miss part of the game on Sunday against the Falcons. So they moved things around. John Jerry came in. He moved into guard. And obviously Newhouse was still out on tackle. And then in terms of the left side, Jerry was on the left side.
Jerry went to left guard. Pugh went out to left tackle. This changes
the dynamics of the offensive line.
It does. But number one, this is where it is great to have a versatile Justin Pugh, who played left tackle during training camp, who played it well. And he'll have a veteran presence out there at the left tackle position. Obviously, they're hoping they get Flowers back. Having him back in the lineup up against Trent Murphy, I think, is a matchup that favors in Eric Flowers' favor if he's healthy. That's the big step. The other name that you have to mention is John Beeson. Like I talked about Kirk Cousins, they're going to run crossings, middle shallow routes. They want to get Garcon in traffic. They want to create one-on-one matchups for Jordan Reed. But what they do is at the line of scrimmage, you're going to see him come up and signal. They do everything to see if the Giants team and defense will show their hand. They were doing hard counts, which is something they can't do on the road. But they were just trying to get Kirk Cousins up front and comfortable to manage the offense, especially since they don't have the DeSean Jackson to stretch the field.
Don't have that vertical threat. Pierre Garcon is more of an intermediate guy.
He's a physical intermediate guy. Every once in a while, he'll break one. But that's what they signed DeSean Jackson, to balance it out, to have that deep threat. Now they've been relying on Ryan Grant, a young rookie. They've been, like I said, moving Jordan Reed around.
The tight end.
But what you're going to see differently now is what Giants fans are going to have to watch. First and second down, the Washington Redskins offense will go with three tight end package with McCarthy 85, with Carrier 89, and Jordan Reed as well, because they want to do whatever they can. If you're going to play eight up, nine up in the box, they want a body in a body, because they feel if they give Alfred Morris a seam, if they give now the young rookie Matt Jones, who was explosive during the game, a seam, that they're going to be able to run through arm tackles and once again put them in those third and manageable situations where they say, we can live when it's third and 4-6. We still have plenty of options. We struggle when it's the deep ones.
And it gives them extra blockers, as you just alluded to, so they can pound the ball.
They feel that if they just can block and man up one-on-one and just create those gap seams, that they can run. And what it does is, once they get things going inside, that's where you saw Matt Jones running to the left. They were running the toss sweeps, getting them out in open space. They were pulling their guards, whether it was Sean Laval, the left guard, whether it was pulling the center, Lichtensteiger. They want to do whatever they can to get him in open space with blockers so he can, number one, use his athletic ability, but number two, he is big. He's 6'2", 230, 235, and he's not scared of physical contact. So they're really relying on those two things.
Well, they got a complimentary back now for Alfred Morris, Dave, and that was something that they haven't had in the last few years.
They really haven't, and I think the other thing is the confidence that they've given Kirk Cousins. Last year, talking to him, he felt like he was a plug-in and play player. He won the quarterback battle outright there. Coach Jay Gruden gave him the football and said, this is your team and your offense. And you can really see that confidence shine through him. But like I said, there are opportunities to be had for this Giants team and this Giants defense against this team.
And part of it starts with the battle in the trenches.
No
question. You got to stop the run. You got to prepare them to have to deal with third and longs.
This is a perfect NFC East battle.
Dogfight on
Thursday.
Dogfight,
yeah.
Absolutely. Real quickly, before we get to your phone calls, we should also mention the Giants did make a transaction today before we came on the air. Preston Parker has been released. Kenrick Ellis has been re-signed. Tom Coughlin mentioned they needed an additional defensive lineman. Understandable, considering we just talked about the battle in the trenches. But
Marcus Kuhn, unsure if he's going to be able to go.
Yep. And so forth. Preston Parker, well documented, Dave. He did struggle in the first two games, missed opportunities, some mental mistakes, and obviously this could be interpreted as perhaps as a statement to the rest of the team that, hey, guys, the urgency factor's here. We've got to go out and win a game on Thursday.
I think it is definitely a statement. I mean, Preston Parker was on this football team for making plays. When times are called upon and it's time for you to step up, when they bracket and put all that attention on Odell Beckham Jr. and towards the other side of the field. This is back-to-back weeks, third downs in key situations to close out the football game where he didn't come up with it. It is a sign for, number one, for everybody else in that locker room. But number two, it's a sign of what the NFL is all about. When you get your opportunity, if you do not make the most of it, you're not either going to be playing or you're not going to be on the football team.
Well, speaking of opportunities, Parker was in the slot a lot. So they'll probably utilize Jeremy Davis. Tom Coughlin mentioned Reuben Randall.
This
also could be an opportunity for Dwayne Harris, Dave, who didn't have a lot of opportunities as a wide receiver with the Cowboys, but that was part of the reason they signed him, to not just provide a spark on special teams, but also line up as a wideout.
When you have something like this happen, everybody else has to step up. Davis, you're a rookie. This is your opportunity, just like anybody else. This is your opportunity to show why they drafted you, why you're here, and to prove that you are a starter in the NFL. And when you talk about going to the return man, now to the offensive side of the ball, you know, this is one of the reasons why they kept Preston Parker, because he could play special teams, and why James Jones is not here. So for you, playing all those different positions, you have to step in and provide a spark offensively. He's also got to get the return game going as well.
Absolutely. And we saw a bit of that in terms of the 41-yard return for Dwayne Harris this past week. But I think another theme is the complement, the group of wide receivers other than Odell Beckham, Dave. You want to see more production. Just 5 combined receptions in this last contest.
And he had some one-on-one matchups. But when the rest of the wide receivers weren't making big plays, they started bracketing the coverage. They started giving him more attention. And that's like I said, why on that last third down of the game, they had to go to a different receiver. And when you have to go to a different receiver, you have to rely on him and have the confidence that he's going to make the play.
We want to remind you, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. All right, let's open up the phone lines. What do you say? 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. Lewis is in Hollywood, Florida. He gets us going on Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lewis, what's happening?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm a diehard Giants fan, and I've been watching for years and listening to you guys. Listen, my concern is I'm glad that they cut Preston Parker. I think it's time that Jerry Reese dig deep and look down at some of the young talent that we've had on the roster before that they let go. Akeem Hunt, talented young running back. You could use him in special teams. He's a good return man. He reminds me a lot of David Wilson. And as a Giants fan, I would love to see somebody like that to help this team out. They should bring Corey Washington back. Another big receiver that Eli needs, big targets. He needs to see those bodies out there, big targets that he can get the ball to. That'll help him get his confidence and get back going, because we have an offense that could be more explosive than what it really is, and that can put games away late, and that's what we're missing. So just want to see what you guys think and feel about that. And I'm glad they brought Kenny Ellis back. We need defensive line help.
Well, Lewis, appreciate the phone call. One thing I wanted to add, Dave, he brought up Corey Washington, and you may know more about this given your experience as a player. When you have an injury settlement, there's normally a number of weeks, a time period before you could potentially bring back a player.
It's going to be interesting to see. Usually that time period is anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So that may be a question in regards to signing him. But also, this is the time where, like we talked about, Jeremy Davis has to step up.
Guys that are on the roster
that you kept on this roster for this reason, whether it was happening to Preston Parker, whether he got cut or hurt, it makes the same impact on the team and on a Sunday. And this is, like I said, the young guys got to step up and play. That's why you're here.
There's opportunities. And it's not just the young guys. It's also a guy like Reuben Randall,
too. Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, if you get more attention towards you, if you're Odell Beckham, Dave, you should have favorable opportunities on the opposite end of the field.
No question. Because if you can get one-on-one matchups, those are ones that you have to win. That's what, like I said, and I hate to repeat myself, but that's why you are in the position that you're in. It's because you know Odell Beckham Jr. is going to create matchup problems for teams. So it only does nothing but benefit you, but you've got to capitalize on it. There is no excuse for it. There's no excuse for drop balls. You know, after it happened last week is one thing. You addressed it. You move forward and said, hey, this is a new week, but you didn't correct the mistake. You didn't get it done.
It's not as if Eli Manning's not spreading the wealth.
Other receivers
targeted.
Are making catches.
It's just a matter of avoiding
the mental mistakes. So Jeremy Davis, you said it. Dwayne Harris, you, you were signed for this offseason, not only to return, but for your abilities and as a wide receiver. You've got to show them.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Mark is in Maryland. Mark, what's happening?
Hey, Lance and Dave, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Mark.
What do you have for
us? Hey, man, yeah, I was at the game Saturday. You know, I'm a diehard Giants fan, and I'm not beating a dead horse down. I just want to say that we have to score at least 33 points. In the NFL, you have to score points in order to win. You can't win by just doing punt returns, you know, kicking punts, 3 points, 3 points. And that's the only thing. We have to score points, and nobody is, like, really saying anything about that. They're talking about other, you know, other players now, but we have to be able to score points in order to win.
Well, you have to capitalize in the red zone specifically, Mark. The Giants just 2-for-8 over the first two games. I mean, that's a big no-no.
Especially, I mean, you look at it, they were 2-for-8 in these first two games, especially in a game in the first one where they were getting turnovers. They were giving the possibility and the opportunities. And when you're in close games, especially in games where we talk about finishing the games, yeah, it's no question you can't settle for field goals. You've got to put touchdowns on the board because you've got to put the – I hate to – you got to put the nail in the coffin. You get up ahead, you've got to close on teams in the NFL because if you give them that little bit of ounce of life, teams have the talent to come back, and it just builds that momentum slowly.
All right, Mark, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
Thank you very much.
The Washington Redskins numbers here, Dave, and when you look at points per game allowed, Washington third in the NFL. They're only giving up 13.5. Even that loss to the Dolphins, Miami only scored 17 points.
And out of the 17 points, one was a punt
Jarvis
return
Landry.
Touchdown for
correct.
Jarvis Landry.
So it was on special teams.
But I think the biggest thing that they're doing now is after last week, once they started, they're converting on third down. They're doing it at a high level because they cut out the penalties that they did had against Dolphins the week before compared to how they did against the Rams. And once that run game gets going, they start controlling the time of possession. We're on the defensive side of the ball. Their new defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, he takes more risks. He's more challenging. He's not scared to blitz. And this is another opportunity where the Giants wide receivers and the running backs have to do a good job catching out of the backfield because Keenan Robinson is a hell of an inside linebacker. He can run and he can cover. So this is a very big emphasis that they have to put on to get Shane Vereen going, to get some catches out of the backfield, just to spread out the offense and to get more shots.
And going back to the point that the caller brought up, Dave, about the importance of punching it in, if Washington is the type of team, as you just alluded to, that wins the time of possession, second in the NFL, similar to the Cowboys last season, what are we going to do? We're going to
pound the football.
We're going to win time of possession. That means you're not going to have the football as long.
No.
opportunities, you have to
capitalize
on
them. You have to capitalize on them, number one, because you know that each one of their drives, they're going to take it down to the bottom of the clock. They're going to do those types of things. But also what it does when it keeps their defense fresh.
Yeah.
That's if any defense, if you keep them fresh, it allows them to do much more. It allows them to rotate inside. It just gives them more opportunities to put their positions in the position to succeed.
I'm sure that's a big reason why they're the number one ranked defense over the first two games. Rest, I'm sure, has something to do with that. Let's head back to the phone lines here as we move along on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Bob is in Texas. Bob, what's happening?
Hello, fellas.
How we doing, Bob?
Caller.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling, buddy.
I have an observation and then a question. The observation is that I'm beginning to feel like once Beattie and JPP went down and not even a whistle had blown, is that management prudently started putting a little more attention on rebuilding the team for next year, not so much on, you know, all hands on deck to win this year. So my evidence for this assertion is partly what happened with James Jones. And it's not the James Jones argument that, you know, Parker's better. Parker's a slot receiver. Jones is a wideout. To me, the issue was that Randall had bad knees, and he had shown very little in preseason. And as Tom Coughlin always said, you play the way you practice. Whereas Jones was the star in preseason and practice and has gone on to play well for the Packers. So I thought by letting him go, they were not doing everything they could to beat the Cowboys, especially since, you know, then the Cowboys can shut out Beckham, which is what they did. And the other one that got me was when McLean was let go in favor of Unga. If you're rebuilding, you want to work your salary cap and develop young players, which I think is great. But the idea that Unga's our guy to carry to cover Jason Witten with a game on the line is just crazy. So it isn't like they've thrown in the towel, but I think they're beginning to look over the horizon to get set up for next year. What do you guys think?
You know what? I can understand where you could see from that perspective where you may think that about that because of playing young players. For me personally, I think the upside for Unga is much better than McLean. I think he's more coachable. I think he fits better into Steve Spagnuolo's system than McLean. And the other thing with McLean, injuries were things that he's obviously been fighting through. So I can understand where you come from that. But also, they were still banking on John Beeson being healthy, leading this group, and Unga being the backup. I still think that Unga has tremendous upside, and his best football is ahead of him because he is learning and getting experience from these games. And I understand exactly where you're coming from in regards to the wide receiver, because you heard Coach Coughlin talk about it today, about him missing practice, and it was clearly affecting Eli Manning during the preseason in the communication between the wide receivers, the chemistry, because that's something that you have to build throughout practice. So I understand where you're coming from, where you can think about that perspective, but let's not forget what was mentioned by John Mara at the end of the season. All the coaches know that they're on record, and this is the year that they have to get it done.
That the urgency factor is there. The other thing I was going to add, Bob, based on your point with Unga and what Dave was alluding to, you know, they also had JT Thomas and Devon Kennard on the roster who can move to the middle.
Who
you
both
had insurance there,
yes,
given their versatility. So I think that was part of the mindset. If we did let McLean go, do we have at least other backup options? So that played a role in terms of the rationale behind that. I think you got to look at it from that perspective. Plus, Unga was very productive in the preseason.
He really was.
He
really
made a
name
for himself.
The biggest thing for him now is his angles in coverage, his ability to cover in the outside, running backs coming out of the backfield. And you're right, you know, getting Witten, being man-to-man, those are things that he is going to have to learn from. Unfortunately, it was a costly mistake.
What else you got for us, Bob?
Well, I think those are very erudite answers. Let me pose my question, and I'll be done. There's obviously a chance that we could have a terrible season. We're off to a unlucky and rough start, et cetera, et cetera. So let's say that all hell breaks loose, you know, and we win 3-4 games, as happened 12 years ago, when we got Eli as a rookie. My question is, if you get a number one, number two, number three draft choice, do you think that the Giants should go after whoever is the marquee quarterback, this year's Andrew Luck, a little earlier than they would have otherwise, because I think what scares me is if you get in this 7-9 trap, you know, every year you're 7-9, your draft pick is 12, you never get to pick your next franchise quarterback. So given we have a high draft choice, do we look at a quarterback?
Bob, I love the passion, but it's week two, my man. The draft is a long way away, and I know what you're thinking about, and I get it. But there's still a lot of football left to be played, and we still don't know where this team is going to be at in the future. Yes, I think it's going to be important at some point that they address if Ryan Nassib is going to be the heir apparent to Eli Manning, or if he is not, who will be the next one. But to sit here and to say that they're going to go out and draft a franchise quarterback, I mean, it's that far away, but I don't see that happen. And there are a lot more issues and areas to address than just that one position.
Well, and the other thing to consider, and I would agree with you, Dave, I mean, they're focused on the Redskins right now.
Not even the scouting department's worried about 2016. No.
But even if, let's say, you go with the caller's hypothetical and you brought in who you thought was going to be a franchise quarterback, you don't know how many more years Eli Manning's going to play. So by the time he's done, that rookie contract could expire, and who knows what the roster's going to look
question.
Like at that point.
And granted, you know, you sit here and you think, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he did it. But it doesn't happen like that where you get a quarterback in the first round that late with that much talent who can sit behind a Brett Favre for 3 years and get that experience. I mean, that really is a – to get that, it's a dime a dozen
very
to make
rare.
That happen, pan out and work out that way. But, yes, of course, at some point they're going to have to address somewhere down the road if something does happen, who do we feel is going to be able to take over the reins.
And, Bob, appreciate the phone call. I think you brought up a great point, Dave. We really don't know the identity of this team after two games because, you know, there's been so much up and down. And also, you know, we're talking about two games lost by a combined 5 points.
5 points.
So the little things here, the ball bounces here or there, who knows what the record
becomes. And, you know, and I hate to use the cliche, well, we beat ourselves. I mean, if you watch on film, there are opportunities, 2-3 plays in each one of these games that can seal the game for the Giants, where the game's completely out of play. Especially there were plays in the fourth quarter of the Dallas game was the same way. They've got to come up with them. This is a football team that has to come up with plays consistently because they can't rely just on talent alone. This is a group that has to come together and play team football. That's the only way that they're going to be able to do it is if they come all together.
Let's head back to the lines. Dre is in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
What's up, Dave? Hey, Lance, how's everything going?
Doing well, Dre.
Dre, great to hear from you, Dre.
Hey, let me tell you, Lance, like I said yesterday, I asked a question in reference to wide receiver depth. Now, you know, Preston Parker's gone. I'm not going to insinuate or assume that Victor Cruz is any closer to getting ready to come back on the field since he hasn't been cleared yet and hasn't been running. The question is, who is? You know, I know we picked up the wide receiver off the waiver wire from Green Bay, but you still have Tally, and I'm sure we have a couple other wide receivers on the, you know, on the bench. Are we going to use Dwayne Harris more so in some of those third down packages to play the slot, or are we going to utilize Jimmy Davis' possession receiving skills for that area?
Well, remember, Harris was on the field, Dre, to answer your question with that illegal motion penalty, and that was a third down. So he's already been in the mix on third down, even when Preston Parker was on the roster. So, you know, as Dave and I mentioned, there's opportunities for him. There's opportunities for Jeremy Davis to probably get more reps and more work. And there's going to be opportunities, obviously, for Reuben Randall, who's already been on the field, to continue to improve in terms of his production.
And you know who else? Larry Donnell has to step up and raise his level of game. If he starts working down the seams, his Y sticks, and where he can create those mismatches again with linebackers, that's crucial for this team to have an inside passing game in those shallow crossings, those one-on-ones. Just because it allows you to continue to move the chains in the positive direction. I don't think he's back to the form where he was last season, and he's got to get there as soon as possible because when you have a player like Odell Beckham who's getting bracketed, when you have other players on your team who need to step up and make plays, you've got to rely on each and every one of them. You can't just say, well, you know, it's only going to be Jeremy Davis. Each one of these guys have to step up to open up those opportunities for Odell Beckham Jr. where he can line up at the 4 or 5 different spots on the field to get him into open space. If you move him there and you move him here and he's not being productive because nobody else is making plays, they're winning, no matter how you look at it.
You want to be creative.
You've got to be creative. But when you're creative and other people don't come up with plays, it doesn't matter.
Well, Shane Vereen could
Shane
be another option.
Exactly.
Another
definitely. Yeah. But, you know, I still think Larry Donnell, his blocking, you know, is some of those plays, I think we would get a lot more yards if his blocking was sound. And we need a tight end that's going to step up and take over the fields until he gets back on the field.
Yep.
I think overall, motivation and morale comes from within. And I don't particularly think we need that one player to galvanize the entire team. That comes from within. But I do think that if Beeson does play on Thursday, it'll, you know, bring some cohesiveness back to the defense. But I still think in reference to the offense, Victor Cruz has to get healthy and be back on that field. I think you need one other player that's going to win that one-on-one matchup, get open, so it takes the tension away. Because Reuben Randall was a ghost on Sunday, you know. I was surprised he caught 4 passes. They were quite 4 passes, even though they were only for 24 yards. I didn't know where they came from. But he has to step up. Everyone has to step up. You know, you can't win all the time, but you can't lose forever. And at some point, you have to hit the taste of losing and want to win. You know, and it's infectious. Once you win one game, it's like a domino effect. You just have to get out of this quicksand that we're in. But thanks for picking my call, you guys.
All right, Dre, appreciate
the
phone call.
Great call.
Yeah, I don't love comparing one season to another because clearly the roster has turned over greatly. But, Dave, you were on the team when they lost the first 2 games of the season when Spags was the first time as a defensive coordinator. And then things all of a sudden turned around.
Yeah, and the only way that we got through it was as a team, you have to say enough's enough. You've got to clean up the mental mistakes. You've got to clean up all – but more importantly, you know that when you come together as a team, all 11 guys are going to fight together till the game's over. That fight that no matter what happens in a game, that you can respond and come back for it. That's how you build the confidence from it so that you don't get into situations where, like, here we go again. You get into a situation like, fine, we're going to shut things down. We have no doubt about it. Once you start building that confidence as a team and you say enough's enough, that's when things truly turn around. But it does. You have to get that spark of confidence. You have to get that win under your belt to get you to start saying, well, we didn't leave it on the field. This or that. You can say, hey, we gave it our best. We came away with a win. But you can look at the positives of it and still take the negative things of it in the right way so you're not lingering on them.
And all it takes is one player, and just like that.
One player spark things. One big play to get the energy. And I think John Beeson provides that energy and that leadership to step in. But you can't do it all by yourself. People have to rally around you.
Got to feed off of it.
Feed off of it. Yep.
Need the complimentary pieces. We want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's head back to the phone lines. We check in with Marco in Connecticut. Marco, what's happening?
Hey, excuse me, David and Lance. Nice to be with you today.
Thanks for calling, Marco.
Good to have you aboard, Marco.
David, I'm a huge fan of yours. I met you week 12. I don't expect you to remember this. Week 12 in 2007, it was home game versus the Vikings. Eli had a really tough game. He threw three pick sixes. That was right before we went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
Never happened. I don't remember that one whatsoever.
Yeah. I tried that game.
Those are the ones that you block out.
It's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
You've always been one of my favorite Giants. And,
thank you very much.
I got to say, I was confident. Always with a deal, with a Cyber, Jacobs, Bradshaw in the lineup. And, I had something I wanted to say, and I'll get to it. But just when you guys were alluding to we beat Washington in 2007 after those two poor games, you know, there's a difference, though, and I'm not being negative. I love the Giants. When you have a Pierce and Michael Strahan and the guys that we had on the offensive line back then, it was a little easier to be confident, to know the guys were going to line up every week. The injuries that have taken a toll here, even going back then, people talk about that draft class. You know, that draft class was able to come in and get adapted and kind of get into the lineup a little bit as the season went on. We're asking guys like Flowers, like Collins, these young players that they have to play right now. We're asking Flowers to be a dependable starting left tackle right now. And I know he was a high pick. It's a lot to ask for from this group. Like you guys just said, John Beeson is big. Victor Cruz is big. These guys, we need them out there. And, I thought when Beckham hit that big 67-yarder the other day, I thought that was the big play that was going to take them over. But now, you know, they just got to put it together. And I think a win will help them. Thursday night is huge, 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 huge. And my question, David, for you is, with this Thursday night game, what's this turnaround like for NFL players? They just get done playing Sunday. Your bodies are banged up. You're not, you're feeling sore. You're used to some rest. What is expected on how you should feel on Thursday night? I was just curious about that.
It is a quick turnaround, and because of the quick turnaround, throughout the week, you're only going helmets out there. You're not hitting. You're not banging because you just had a game on Sunday. It's a quick turnaround for the Thursday. Big advantage having it at home. Having to travel, having an extra day compresses your game plan even more because Monday's a half day for both because you're going over the last game, you're reviewing, you're going out and having a corrections walkthrough, but then you're coming back in and you're introducing the first part of the Washington Redskins. Same thing with Tuesday and Wednesday. It physically, it is tough to bounce back from, But like I said, having your own facilities, being in your own place, having all that stuff to turn around is a lot different from when I played in 13, my last season playing. We played the Philadelphia Eagles at home. We played 70 snaps offensively, and then we were back right on the road at Chicago on Thursday. It's a lot easier to adjust at home. Also, I think for a team right now having the two tough losses, I think it's the best thing that could happen to them right now, the timing of it. Because when you lose a game or two games in a row, you're sitting on it for a week to get back to football. When you have a young football team and a team like the Giants have right now, I think one of the best things that could have happened to them is the quick turnaround. Get last week out of your head. Learn from it, but there's nothing that it can do for this week. And what, I mean, how can you not get excited about the Washington Redskins coming into your stadium as a division rival? Prime time, you're the only game on TV that night. It adds something to you as a football player. That soreness, that stuff, you block out because you know, number one, how important this game is. But number two, you know everybody, all your peers in the NFL are watching this game as well.
Prime time game,
I like that. A really quick question, and then I'll hang up to listen to what you guys have to say. I'm still very confident in Coach Coughlin, and there's no other guy that I want coaching this team. But I'm curious if there's become a little disconnect with Coach and the, let's just say, the offensive situation, McAdoo, Eli. There's some things going on late in these games that we've never seen before. And when he's meeting with the media at the end of the game, I know he's upset, but for him to say he's not sure what happens at the end of a game, what's your guys' take on it? I mean, I know I'm putting you in a spot here to ask if there's a disconnect, but what's the problem here is what I'm asking. Why don't we have our finger on what's happening, and how do we get it corrected? All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Marco, appreciate the phone call. Well, a lot of what transpired in the Dallas and the Atlanta game, Dave, is more execution.
No question.
I mean, that's really what it revolves around when you look at some of those last few drives.
Especially, and I understand where he's coming from, and the Dallas game, losing a game on situational football. You know, but I think any time that you start off 0-2, you're not playing consistent, you're going to try to magnify any little aspect
everything
of it. Everything is under the microscope. But it comes down to execution. I know Coach Coughlin. I know Ben McAdoo and their relationship. There's nothing that you have to worry about that they're not on the same page. But guys have to make plays. You have, when you're in the position to win, you've got to come up with it because, like I said, this isn't a team that can rely on talent alone. It's got to rely on execution from all 11 consistently. And when you're called upon, you've got to make the play because you cannot afford to let anything slip out of your hands by mis-execution or not knowing what to do or not being disciplined, not being on the spot where you need to be. Penalties, those are things that teams that are 0-2 cannot afford. You just got to play the way football is meant to play. Do your job. I hate to say it, do your job. Yeah. Somebody asks you to do something, do it. Block the guy in front of you. Whatever you got to do, get it done. Because you know that everybody else is depending on it. And you know the way things have shook, you can't afford anything to go back against yourself, especially negatively when you're doing it to yourself.
The self-inflicted wounds.
Can't do it.
And Tom Coughlin hit on that right after the Falcons game, Dave. He mentioned, you know, we're not the type of team right now where we can beat ourselves up and then allow the opponent to beat us up. Can't do it.
No. Number one, you don't have the health that you need to do it. But number two, this isn't a team that has that experience as a unit to do it.
Because they're still growing.
Still
There's a
growing.
Lot of youth. Speaking of coaching, one thing I want to hit on real quickly before we head back to the phone lines, a storyline that hasn't gotten a lot of exposure. Perry Fuel, former Giants defensive coordinator,
yes.
is now the Redskins defensive backs coach. On a short week, and the reason I bring this up, Jay Gruden in his presser yesterday said, we are going to pick the brain of Perry Fuel left and right because he knows the personnel very well. And I understand.
Of course.
It's part
of
the chatter. But honestly,
part of it. Yeah, I mean,
how much do you think that could perhaps aid them?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, Coach Fuel has been on the other side in practices for a year against Ben McAdoo's system. He knows the personnel. He knows players' strengths and weaknesses. But you see it all on film. I mean, you can watch everything. You can go through everything. And anyways, in regards to the terminology, the hand signals, you change those week to week. So going into this game, number one, you already know you're going up against a division rival that has played you twice last year. They're going back to watch the film to figure out to see if they can hear any code words, if they can remember anything. So you know that you're going to change up terminology. You're going to change up your alert audibles, whether you used to go run, pass, pass, run. You're just going to try to change things up because you have to week in and week out anyways. But, I mean, I wouldn't be too alarmed about it because everything on film shows up. Every game shows up. It's like last week, myself calling the Redskins game. I played for the New York Giants. I was a part of the Giants organization. I'm part of the, but I watched the entire preseason. I watched each and every player individually. I watched into. There's nothing that they were going to show me out on film watching practice on Friday that was going to be like, oh, my gosh, this is the big. I already studied and watched enough on my own that you come up with your own opinions.
And if the Redskins don't know that Odell Beckham is talented by now, then I don't know what's going
on
there.
Exactly.
So at this point,
exactly.
They don't need Perry Fuel to remind them about that. Let's head back to the phone lines. LaVon is in Atlanta. LaVon, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Lance? How you doing, David?
What's up, LaVon? How are you, my man?
Doing well. What do you
have
for us?
I'm doing all right. I'm not as pessimistic as I was right after that game had finished. It was a hard game. I was worried about that game because we had beaten down Atlanta last year when we needed to, 30-20. And I know teams, they really don't forget things like that. And I live in Atlanta, too, so there's that. But I just wanted to say that I'm not too worried about the 0-2 start. I mean, I've seen – I'm a big football fan, huge Giants fan. I've seen teams go 4-0 and miss the playoffs to start. I know one year, I think it was 09, when we started 6-0 and still missed the playoffs. So, I mean, as long as we're not mathematically done, and I saw a lot of improvement on Sunday – defensively, offensively, I mean, the team can only get better as a young team. And you guys hit on a lot of things I wanted to comment on, especially that the team is going to get better and the timing and everything. I'd rather be 0-2 right now than go and get into the season and we're trying to make a push and then we start having problems and getting injuries. I mean, I'd rather be us than Philadelphia or the Colts or even Dallas losing Romo and losing Dez Bryant for, like, the next couple of weeks. As weird as that sounds, I'd rather be 0-2 than 2-0.
Probably next 10 weeks.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or that plus Dez Bryant, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's brutal. I mean, you got to look at the bright side. You got to think of things realistically. But I have a really obscure question, but first I want to make two comments. Dre hit it on the head, and it's bothering me a lot. Where is Reuben Randle? I don't understand it. I thought he was hurt, and the Giants were maybe keeping that under wraps so teams wouldn't key on it. But the guy, he's not winning, and when the ball comes his way, he drops it. He just looks like he's not out there on the team, and we need him.
I know.
It's a contract year. He should be motivated.
You just hit what I was going to go with.
You're taking his material. You got to be careful. Yeah.
I mean, that's if you can't be motivated enough right now, number one, knowing that you have to contribute to this football team. Number two, having an Odell Beckham Jr. that can draw attention away from you. And then number three, playing for a contract. If you can't use that as motivation to get it done, I don't know what you can use for motivation. That's for sure.
Yeah, it bothers me because you look at the guy, and the guy is he's a tall guy. He's got all the tools, but he is invisible out there. But I do have an obscure question. And this is because I'm a huge fan, and I'm deep into the roster. Brandon Merriweather, he's playing well for us, but my defense is 0-2. The team is 0-2. Why is Cooper Taylor inactive the last two games? I don't know much. I'm not there. But 6'4", 220, I thought he was a starting safety coming out of training camp. And I just want to see if the kid can play on game day. I want to see if he's got any skills, if he can get better. He's a young guy. And Brandon Merriweather is what he is. If he was still good, I think the Redskins probably would have held on to him. He wouldn't have been out there as long as he was. He's made a few plays. He's missed a few. He doesn't tackle very well. He likes to tackle with his shoulder pads and his helmet. I would just want to know, is Cooper hurt or did Coughlin lose confidence in him? I don't know what it is. And I got one more comment. I'm going to hang up. David, I don't know if you remember this, And one of my favorite sound bites ever is 2007, the game after Tampa Bay.
Off to Dallas.
Off to Dallas.
That's right.
Up the field. I love that sound bite. I got the video, the DVD upstairs. I play it. Off to Dallas. All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right, LaVon.
Thank you.
Appreciate the
phone call. Question. I think, number one, in regards to Merriweather, I think the Redskins were confident. They brought in Goldson. They brought in players at that safety position.
Johnson.
They brought in players at that position. I think that's why they felt that they could part ways with them. In regards to that battle, I think Steve Spagnuolo feels more confident with Merriweather in the system than Cooper Taylor based upon how they played in the preseason and the way that they like to attack. Yeah, having that physical presence, I think, is what they like out of Merriweather. But just like everybody, he's got to play more consistent. I think that's a – I mean, you could say that about pretty much the entire team right now. It's all about consistency and putting together a game plan and, most importantly, executing it for four quarters. Plus, because it's all about finishing games, both of these games, they got into the fourth quarter. Both of these games were winnable games for the Giants. They didn't execute and close them when they needed to.
And Merriweather has been opportunistic.
He was
the one that hit Devin Street in the Cowboys game to force that interception. The other aspect, I think, of this, Dave, is Spag's confidence in Craig Dahl, knowing the system.
Knowing the system.
And I think that may have been the decision, Cooper Taylor versus Craig Dahl, just knowing, hey, early in the season, I feel good throwing out a guy who knows the system backwards and forwards before maybe we make things a little bit too complex.
You know, Craig Dahl is a smart football player, obviously played for Spags in St. Louis, but also he played in that system for Vic Fangio in San Francisco. So he is smart. He knows coverages. He knows blitz packages. He knows where he needs to be out on the field. And I think that's another thing that puts him a step ahead of Cooper Taylor.
And when Spags has addressed the media, one of the things he talked about, you know, do I make things too complex for the guys in the first two games? Do I simplify things? Do I go with the guys that are more comfortable with the system?
This is his first time coaching live against teams, too. So, you know, just like ever, he's figuring out what each guy can do. I know that you say in practice, it's a whole different thing when you get in a game situation, when you're playing up against different personnel groups and you're trying to pair up, okay, which matchups do we think we can create and win? And I think that's something that he did in 07 when he first came here, too. That 0-2 start.
You,
as much as you want to say, oh, well, you got to start fast, I understand that. But also playing through two games, you see a lot more out of players than what you get during training camp and preseason. That's for sure.
The rotations you want and so forth.
You see who plays well next to each other, who balances each other out, who brings something that you didn't think that he would bring. All those things play into a factor moving forward here. Offensive line. I think the offensive line is playing a lot better. They're starting to gel together. Obviously, it's tough with the loss of Flowers, but at least you have another veteran like Justin Pugh who can play all the positions, showed his versatility, and did it well during the preseason as well. So these are all things that you're going to see this team continue to fight and move forward, but it's just they just got to execute when the game's on the line, plain and simple.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Drew is in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Hey, Dave. Hey, David. Hey, Lance. How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Drew. What's happening with you?
Good, good.
What can we help you with, Drew?
Making it today. Hey, you know, Dave, we miss you out there on that line, man. You sure you don't want to come back?
I'm good, my man. Thank you very much. I'm good.
Hey, you know, it's a lot of good calls, man. Some of my stuff was taken, but I want to
Mine, too. Mine, too.
You guys are stealing
material
his material.
Yeah, well, that is great material. But I want to go back to an earlier phone call where Bob was talking about the rebuilding theory. And I actually wanted to bring this up yesterday. You know, and I keep going back to this. There are a lot of teams in the league who are constantly looking for quarterbacks. You know, obviously, you know, a good quarterback will make or break your team. And, you know, for me, we have one in Eli. Yeah, he might not be the greatest or whatever, and we can all argue that, but he's, you know, he can get the job done when he has the tools around him. I feel like we're kind of wasting this kid's years with all of this, you know, rebuilding talk or whatever. And, you know, to me, you know, with some of the lack of talent that he has around him. And, you know, the window of opportunity, I feel, is closing. Now, you know, we keep going back to this, oh, well, you know, it could have been this and it could have been that and we could be 2-0. You know, yeah, that's all true, man. But I'm looking at for the last few years, we've been going over. there's a consistency there as well, too. So, you know, that's a problem. And I just feel like this team, you know, in order to move on, like you said, we gotta fix those mistakes. But to consistently start out 0-4, you know, and for the at least the last 3 years, and we don't know what this game is going to bring, it's disturbing. And it does, to me, speak of a lack of talent there.
Well, when it comes to Drew, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. You know, everybody's been throwing out the term rebuilding, Dave. And when you look at the parity in the NFL, it's hard to say that anybody ever actually rebuilds, considering there are so many quick turnarounds that we've seen across this NFL landscape.
And I understand what you're talking about because of young players coming in, playing in, asking them to be a fit and a player instantly. You know, somebody brought up Ereck Flowers, the first rounder, Landon Collins, but that's around the league, your first and second round players.
Well,
it happens
across
the board.
Let me clarify something, okay? Me personally, I don't have a problem with us bringing in a new young talent, you know, and I think that's a good thing. That's not what I'm saying. You know, I think the bigger issue is the quality of that talent, these guys coming in and that young talent. You know, we just had to let Preston Parker go because he wasn't getting it done. I ain't trying to be funny, man. I mean, you know, we knew this last year, the kid couldn't catch. Okay, so yet we get rid of all the people we hold on to, these guys, only to turn out that, okay, well, yeah, they're not producing. And to me, I think that's a problem that the Giants has. Now, I'm going to say this right here, and I'm going to let you go because I do want you to speak to this. And this has been brought up a number of times, which is Coughlin doesn't like to play his young guys. So my question is there, and I know you're not going to answer this, but – you know, is there some, you know, some, I don't want to use the word friction, between, you know, in other words, the plays that Jerry Reese is picking, is Tom Coughlin saying these guys aren't good enough? And then is there frustration on Jerry Reese? Like, look, I'm getting these guys for you. Why aren't you playing them? Or blah, 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 blah. But I do know that regardless of what we say, we are yet again 0-2, and that's a talent and concentration issue. I'll take that answer off the air.
All right, Drew, appreciate the phone call.
I don't think that there's friction between Coach Coughlin and Jerry Reese, and I think that they felt throughout the offseason, throughout mini camps, throughout the draft, I think that they felt they built a product and a football team that could win football games, especially win the NFC East. But it's hard to sit here and say after week two that the injuries they faced have not been devastating. I mean, it's hard to sit here and say Victor Cruz getting hurt. Think about what he would do for the offense. Think about how he would open up things for Odell Beckham Jr. Think about how he gives Eli Manning another threat to get the football to. How he would ease, hopefully, things for Reuben Randall to step up and other players. Open up things for Shane Vereen in the running game. Think about defense. JPP, John Beeson. Those are key players that you're trying to replace at positions that make plays and contribute and are game-changing players for you. Those are huge things to overcome. So having young guys play, yeah, it's tough. But to sit here and say that there's friction, no. To sit here and think that there is a rebuilding program, no. Because all the coaches, like I said earlier, know that this is their, I think, one of their last opportunities to do it because of the way John Mara spoke after last season.
And in terms of the young players that have been brought in, Dave, if you look at this season and last season, they've been playing immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the class from last year. Andre Williams, Devon Kennard, they didn't wait for like week seven or week eight. Those guys were right in the mix. And you had Landon Collins and Ereck Flowers start week one this season. So there's no, hey, we're going to slowly move them along. It's we drafted you. We expect you to make an impact immediately.
You need to contribute. Yeah.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Charlie is in Portland, Maine. Oh, this is about to get interesting. Charlie, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing well, but we may change our approach based on your phone call. So how's everything?
Oh, everything is just dandy here. I don't know about in New York. I don't know. I've got so many things. It would take an hour to go through it.
Well, that's good. So hopefully you can make them shorter because we're on the clock here, Charlie.
Charlie's got a checklist, I guess.
I got a checklist, but I'll do this quick. Just start with the O-line. Well, for one thing, why did they have Flowers practice when you knew he had a bad ankle after the first game?
even though the guy's tough and he says, I'll practice, why didn't the medical staff say, no, I think you should sit out and rest your ankle. Maybe we'll get you into one practice before the start of the, you know, the next game. But what happens? He practices the whole time, then he plays the game and he hurts his ankle again. I don't understand that.
Okay, hold on. I'll answer that one before. As a former offensive lineman, I've practiced with sprained ankles. I've practiced with sprained everything along with the rest of the offensive linemen. You have to practice. You have to go through game reps. You have to go through those things, especially as a young player. Yes, he went through those, but they monitored him. They made sure he had treatment. So to sit here and have him sit out an entire week of practice after losing a tough game at Dallas and then getting ready to play up against the Atlanta Falcons front, you've got to practice. So, I understand that he had a bum ankle, but every offensive lineman's done that.
All right, so, Charlie, one's been shot down. What's the comeback
okay.
here?
Well, I still think – I'm not saying he didn't have practice at all. He could have just practiced a couple of days, not the whole time. But anyway, and the other thing is, don't you think Jake Long would have been a great backup and depth for this team? Why the hell didn't Jerry re-sign him? And I don't understand that.
Number one, Jake Long was going through the entire process slowly, which he said that he was going to. He wasn't making any rush decisions. When he was here, he was fully healthy, but he wasn't physically absolutely where he needed to be. Also, the problem with Jake Long is he has had injuries throughout his career. It wasn't a fact of whether he would be able to start and back up now. Would he last the duration of the season, which he has not been able to do the last 3 or 4 years of his career? Boom, number two down. Let's
Multiple
go, Charlie.
Knee surgeries. What do you got for the trifecta, Charlie?
Okay. I still think, David, I appreciate your opinion, but he's a lot better than any backups we have right now. But anyway, Newhouse, he did an ole on that play. That's why Eli fumbled. He knew the play was going to the other side, and it looked like he didn't give it his whole effort on it. And he was the only guy that everybody else was blocking beautifully. He was the only guy to let his guy go, and then Eli fumbled. So I put it on him, not on Eli, because he was trying to make a play. Okay, third, fourth, whatever we are.
He's
now,
already losing track. He's so flustered.
Why didn't they play Brinkley at all? He said he was ready. He's a 7-year vet. He's a middle linebacker. Instead of playing Uga all game, and now you're talking about a quick turnaround. Well, if you have depth on your team, then you can play some other people, spot guys, so they have, you know, time to rest. And to me, they better play Brinkley, because this guy he played really well in the preseason. I watched some preseason games when he was with Dallas. The dude can tackle. He's a veteran. We should have had him in there in that fourth quarter to give the rookie a break and give him a rest.
Well, Charlie, it goes back to what David and I were talking about earlier with Craig Dahl versus Cooper Taylor. You know, Spags made it clear it's hard to just walk in and learn this defense overnight. And Brinkley, remember, joined this team very late. So, he's still getting adjusted. I think, perhaps as you get a little bit more into the weeks of the season, Dave, he'll be more and more confident.
He said he was ready. He tweeted out, he says, I'm ready to go.
What player do you think is going to say he's not ready, Charlie?
No, he didn't say he was ready when he was there for 2 days. He said he was ready when he was there after eight days. And the other thing,
He's trying to get you.
Charlie,
One more on Reuben Randle.
All right, real quick, this is it.
The guy has tendonitis in his knees. That's why he is not playing well. The guy is hurt. So why are we putting him in there? Why don't you put somebody else in? Let him rest a week. Get his tendonitis under control. That's why he's not playing well. He's a better player than that. So, I don't understand it. I don't understand what we're doing.
All right, Charlie. Well, appreciate the phone call. Now, it goes back to, Dave, what you mentioned, and you could talk about this considering your resume. You play hurt in the NFL. Nobody is fully 100% healthy game in and game out.
I gave the three motivating factors for Reuben Randle as a football player. He's not only playing to be productive this year, he's playing for his NFL future. So him to be out there, they were expecting big things. I think they were expecting big things out of having Victor Cruz to go alongside, to have that parity in all those guys. But like I said, Reuben Randle, Jeremy Davis, the return man, they have got to step up and make plays for this offense. If not, it is going to be another week of struggles.
It's not just Reuben Randall. There are so many other weapons here. Shane Vereen's another one.
Yes.
He stepped up last game.
Larry Donnell.
Larry Donnell. When Daniel Fells gets fully healthy, that's another option. You know, it's not just one guy. It goes back to the fact that there's other complements here.
They have to have other people contribute as well.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We close out the program with Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Excellent,
well,
Len. How are you?
Good, 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 good. Listen, always a pleasure to follow Charlie. Let me start off by asking a question. How many ex-Dallas players do we need on our roster to try and beat Dallas? We got to get better than the guys that Dallas is getting rid of. That's how you beat Dallas. Oh, okay. Hey, listen, John. Every time I
Lance,
think,
that's
I
okay.
don't know.
Boy, Len, you're batting 1,000 to start this phone call. See, that's why you shouldn't say you like to follow Charlie. It rubs off a little too well there.
Hey, Phil, what do you got?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, all right. Let me just say this, John. Every time I think making that drive up the turnpike to see a football game, I wonder how many more times can I do this. And then it gets to be 1 o'clock and the Giants come out of that tunnel. And I realize exactly where I want to be at that moment. That is a very exciting moment at the start of that football game. Unfortunately, you got to ride the escalators after a loss, and that's a tough ride down, guys. That's a tough ride down.
Well, Len, I know you work out religiously every single day. So, you know, just like the players don't have excuses,
the fans can't have excuses either. Let me ask David. Can I ask David a couple of quick questions?
Go ahead. Give it to me, Len.
Yeah. Okay, hey, David, I thought the other night on defense, or the other day on defense, I thought we set the edge pretty well. Good play by Kennard, good play by J.T. Thomas. But part of that has got to be scheme, too. Were we lined up to overemphasize protecting the edge?
Well, yeah.
We did a good job, David.
You knew going into that game, whether it was Coleman or Devontae Freeman, you know they were trying to do whatever they can to get them in open space, whether it was pitches, tosses, because they felt that was an advantage for them. This week, it's going to go the opposite. It's going to start on the inside, and then they start working the edges. But at the same time, it's going to be important for those defensive ends to force everything inside, because this last game, the Washington Redskins against the Rams, they used Alfred Morris. They started hitting things in the middle, and that's when you saw Matt Jones the next thing. They started pulling the guards, the center, working the edges. So this time, it's going to be opposite. This is where Kendrick Ellis and the interior defensive linemen are going to have to hold up at the point of the attack, because they like the zone. They like to double team. Yeah. If the Giants can do a good job on first and second down against the runs, which, I mean, you know, you say that every week, that's where they're going to put Kirk Cousins in unfavorable positions, no question.
Long situations on third down.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I like the re-signing of Ellis. That is a big man, David.
He is a big man.
I think with him and Nicks, you know, trading off at that position, I think that's going to work out. Now, you know, talking about Thursday night, one thing from an offensive standpoint, it always seems to me, David, when you're playing a 3-4 team, and this is the first time this year we'll be playing a 3-4 team.
Well, they play a little bit of both, Len. They play both 3-4 and 4-3. They're multiple, just so you know.
Okay, well, let me just say one thing. When they're in a 3-4, David, it seems to me the key, I mean, there's a lot of keys, but to me the key is always if you can get the nose tackle block one-on-one.
No question.
It really opens up the running lanes, particularly inside. If Richburg can handle this Baker guy, he's a big guy, but I think Richburg can handle him. If he can handle this Baker guy, I think we can do some damage inside. I think Jenny's going to have a big night. What do you think, David?
I agree with you, because you look at when you're looking at a 3-4 defense, if they are in a 3-down from the behind, you see two guards uncovered, which gives you natural running lanes. But you're right, it does depend on the movement at the nose tackle position, where they don't only have Chris Baker, but they also have big old pot roast Terrence Knighton, who they brought over from Denver as well. So those two players, Baker and Knighton, they're hoping can sit down at the point of attack, hold off that double team to let Perry Riley Jr. and Keenan Robinson run. So it is. That is the one of the biggest spots to make sure that you either hit with reach blocks or double teams, is that you stop at the point of attack, the nose tackle, so that you have the capability to get those open running lanes.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go, Giants. Let's start it off. Hey, John, if we can be 5-5 at the break,
healthy, and we're healthy.
Len,
we can make a run, John.
Len,
we can make a run.
Len, I appreciate the phone call, but can you get my name right once?
It's Lance.
I mean, you're killing me here.
Oh, my God.
You're
killing me here, Len. I got to tell you, I can't see you guys. I'm in the parking lot on my cell phone.
Len, I don't know what they're putting in the water down in Maryland, but, you know, I mean, come on, buddy. I expect better from you.
Guilty with an explanation, but I am in the parking lot. I can't see you guys.
Understandable. All right,
gotcha.
Len.
Have a great day, Len. Thanks for the call.
Even though it's a stretch. Len in Maryland with the last word here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We want to remind you, fans, that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. Dave, absolute pleasure.
Awesome stuff, Lance. Look forward to hopefully doing another one with
Absolutely.
You if we have a change. But
certainly.
Have a great one.
Cooperates.
Appreciate all the phone calls in. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. For David Deal, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday and stay locked to Giants.com. For Big Blue Kickoff Live.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.